Been looking forward to this since we got started this week. Lance Trover, he had joined me on election night here at News Radio WJPF. Lance is a former member of the staff here at the River Radio Group. He's a Vienna native, but he's also deputy chief of staff for the Rauner administration. He's a political strategist. Did I mention SIU graduate and a Vienna native? And that's a pretty good intro, Lance.
I think you covered it all, except former deputy chief of staff.
Former deputy chief of staff.
Not there anymore.
Now you're working for Tusk Strategies, I think it is?
Indeed. Right. But yes, most proud to be from Vienna and an SIU grad. And I can assure you of that.
It was interesting because when your bio on Tusk Strategies, they were talking about, you know, crisis management when it comes to media, which I would imagine there's quite a demand for these days.
There's no end in sight for crisis communications, whether both in the political arena or outside of the political arena, in this day and age of Twitter and Facebook and blogging and the internet as a whole. There's no shortage of need for that.
So how deep is the proverb ingrained in you that you clearly can't control what people do, you just can control your reaction to it? I would assume that's a proverb you've got somewhere plastered on a wall somewhere, right?
It's everywhere. It's everywhere, sure.
You know, and I think when you look at the reaction of Illinoisans when you say, look, we may have the most expensive gubernatorial election in history, that we've got one candidate in the neighborhood of $3.5 billion, Pritzker, this according to Wikipedia, and another saying that Bruce Rauner's worth at least $700 million, people would go, why are rich people fighting over this job? Is it, you know, I don't want to refer to Illinois as a corpse, but it's definitely, you know, it's debt is phenomenal. I mean, and you and I talked about this on election day. How do you look into the camera and go, yeah, I got $700 million in the bank. I know what it's like to make $22,000 a year. I don't think you can do it. I don't.
Yeah. You know, well, and you know, 4 years ago, who would have imagined that somebody would come along and say they're going to outspend Bruce Rauner when it comes to running for the office of the governor? And I was thinking about that before we came on. You know, Bruce Rauner is practically a billionaire. And now on the other side, the nominee for governor is a guy who's worth, you know, three times as much as him, who will likely outspend, you know, the billionaire will likely outspend the billionaire.
Right.
So you make a very good point. And, you know, what they're both going to do is go out there and say, listen, you know, I've been successful. I've made a lot of money. But, yeah, I don't make $22,000 a year, but I'm fighting. I care about this job. It shows you how much I care. And that I'm going to go spend a lot of money and to become your governor because I care about you. I care about the state of Illinois. But what both are going to have to do is really come up with some solid plans, because even though we raised taxes last year, we still have a budget deficit. We still have pension debt. We have a lot of problems here in the state that need to get fixed.
And here's the thing. When you looked at the campaigns, it was all about, you know, he kicks dogs and doesn't like babies. There was an absence of how to fix the Illinois debt and its our structural problems. There was which is what Rauner ran on the first go around. But in that primary election, they didn't talk about how they were going to fix it. I didn't see anybody say how they were going to fix it. Did you?
No, and I'm not sure that's going to change over the course of the next several months unless voters really start demanding it. I think on one side, you know, you're going to have Bruce Rauner looking at voters saying, listen, I'm the only thing standing between you and Mike Madigan. If you hand the keys over to this other guy, you know, he and the speaker are just going to raise your taxes. And then on the other side, you're going to have J.B. Pritzker saying, you know, this Bruce Rauner, he's a failure. And he's just like Donald Trump, and he's going to say that up in Chicago every chance he gets, and say he's just like Donald Trump, and he's been a massive failure for the state, and we need change. And missing in that really is, yeah, what are you going to do? And that you're right, we didn't see it in the primary, and my fear is we're not going to see much of it in the general election either.
You see, and it's interesting because Lance Trover is joining us today, just touched on a subject. When Rauner was running for his first term, there was no record. He didn't have any record of public service of being in elected office. Well, now he's got 4 years of a record as governor in Illinois, where J.B. Pritzker has the privilege of saying of running, and Rauner really not having a record to point at and say, look what he did.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, you hit the nail on the head, Tom, and when you're talking just political strategy and how voters tend to react is they look at the incumbent, and the onus is kind of on them, and they say, listen, is this guy doing what I sent him to do? In Bruce Rauner's case, he's going to say, well, I may not have gotten everything done that I said I was going to do, but I've definitely done one thing, and I went and I shook up Springfield. I told you I was going to shake up Springfield. That's what I did. I told you I was going to take on Mike Madigan, and that's what I did. that's going to be his case to voters. And that's, you know, he's certainly entitled to run on that. J.B. Pritzker, again, he's going to go and say, listen, this guy hasn't done anything he said he was going to do. He shook up Springfield, but, you know, our debt's bigger than it used to be. Our taxes are higher. You know, he didn't do what he said he was going to do. But that's really where the dividing line is going to come down between these two. And it's you know, make no mistake, it was a nasty campaign, and it's going to be even nastier. I would venture to guess the nastiest campaign this state has ever experienced, certainly the most expensive the state has ever witnessed in its history.
But incumbency normally allows you to guide the nature of the conversation, and I'm not so sure that that's the case here.
That is true. Bruce Rauner is going to try the best he can to guide the conversation, but you know, he's got an opponent, again, as we discussed, who's got a lot of money, and he's going to really try to go hit the TV airwaves and drive the conversation himself. And interestingly, as we noted, a guy with even more money than Bruce Rauner, so he's going to try to guide the conversation as well. But yeah, that's going to be the issue for the governor, is the record he has. And, you know, he's going to say, well, I passed criminal justice reform. I got some good things done. I passed the school funding bill. I did get some good things done. But gosh darn it, if that Mike Madigan weren't there, think of all the good things we could do. And voters are going to have to make that decision as to whether they want to give 4 more years to him, you know, because while he has went to Springfield and he definitely shook it up, and I was all for that when I worked for him there, you know, that created a lot of pain and a lot of heartache across the state when we didn't have a budget for 2.5 years. So that's going to be what voters are going to really look at, is that do they want more shaking up in Springfield? That's going to be the question.
All right. So Madigan's role in the election, I read a small opinion piece recently that said now, you know, that's over with the primary, and I don't believe that to be the case at all. But, you know, Madigan's role in the election, prominent across the state. You know, you don't hear, of course, JB talking about it, but, you know, this if you can attach somebody to Madigan, you've done you look at the Paul Simon policy, and you look at the disapproval numbers that Madigan has, and you can't help but that some of that is the effect of Rauner constantly pushing and promoting Madigan as the boogeyman, the manipulator, the Machiavellian leader of the state of Illinois. I mean, and it put position where Bruce was so frustrated that he looks into the camera and he says, "I'm not in charge." Well, they're gonna club him with that.
Yeah. Yeah, they certainly are. And so, you know, that is true. It's, you know, largely thanks to the governor's millions of dollars in advertising, he's kind of shined a spotlight on a guy, Speaker of the House, who's been literally Speaker of the House for, 35, 40 years? He's certainly been there, you know, since the early 70s. You know, and he's a guy, when you look at one constant across the board, particularly throughout the last 20, 25 years, he's the constant, right? Governors have come and gone. Legislators have come and gone. And he still stays and remains in power. And so voters have, you know, look at that and say, listen, we have a lot of problems in Springfield, and there's one common denominator, and that's this guy, Mike Madigan. And it does work, but universally, polling has shown, as you noted, the Simon Institute is but one, that Republicans, Democrats, Independents really don't care for Speaker Madigan. And there have been several races, and the governor did very well in central and southern Illinois in many counties because a lot of his race was run on, you know, Mike Madigan. You're going to see a lot of that again, whether it's in the attorney general's race, whether it's the governor's race, whether it's in a local state representative race. This is a guy's name who is not going away anytime soon.
You know, when it came to the attorney general's race, you see a similar phenomenon when it comes to records. Erica Harold, not much in the way of a record. On the other hand, Kwame Raoul has quite a long record, and two very distinct candidates running here. You know, with the absence of this power vacuum that Lisa Madigan created and that run for that office, I think you get an idea how crucial it is for both parties. But still, when you've got name recognition, Kwame Raoul in much of the state, they don't know who Kwame Raoul is. But on the other hand, they don't know who Erica Harold is either.
Yeah, I tell you what, Tom, this is going to be one of my favorite races to watch next to the governor's race here in Illinois this year. You have two very interesting candidates in terms of Kwame. You're right. I mean, here's a guy who's an attorney from Chicago, but who's been in Springfield for about 10 years now. You know, again, he's going to say, listen, he was the guy who was appointed to Barack Obama's state Senate seat. That's something he's running on. He's going to say, listen, this Erica Harold, she's not very experienced. But Erica Harold, on the other hand, I think is a fascinating candidate, you know, African-American woman from Champaign. She's a former Miss America. You know, she's going to be out there running on fighting public corruption, fighting the opioid epidemic. So, you know, on that side, they're going to try to label her as a Rauner minion. She's just there to do the governor's bidding. She's just there to help Bruce Rauner. And we're on the other side. She's probably going to be pointing and saying, you know, you're just there to protect the speaker, Kwame. This attachment to other people is really what's going to be centered around the races here in Illinois. And I think it's fascinating, whether it's Donald Trump, whether it's Speaker Madigan, or whether it's Bruce Rauner. That's what's going to be fascinating about this campaign. We're watching one candidate try to tie the other candidate to somebody else.
You see, and that's interesting, because imagine this now. The Democrats go, oh, she's just there to cover Rauner. Madigan, AG, Madigan, Speaker right. of the House, that's pot calling the kettle black, isn't it? And I think that's when people start going nuts, because you do something, and then when somebody does the exact same thing you do, they're like the worst thing ever. You know, and I think that it at least sends the whiff out that there's something wrong, doesn't it? I mean, even if because I see a lack of willingness to talk about it.
Well, I think there's a lack of willingness to talk about tough issues, whether in almost in any campaign. It's really hard, particularly in the governor's race, because here in Illinois, we have a lot of big problems. And right or wrong, whether you support him or not, you know, I will give Bruce Rauner credit for one thing. You know, he came into office and he talked about a lot of different, you know, potential solutions that he had for the state. Now, I worked for him. I agreed with many of them. There were many I didn't agree with, but you can never fault him for coming forward, you know, 4 years ago and saying, listen, I've got some ideas. I think we should put her into the state. Some people liked them. Some people didn't. The Speaker of the House didn't like a lot of those ideas, and they got shot down. But when you're, you know, and that is a tough thing to do. And, you know, that's going to be a big issue, is what are you going to do? How are you going to get us out of this mess? How are you going to create jobs? Listen, it's really nice that you're talking about Mike Madigan. It's fine if you want to talk about Donald Trump. But how are you going to fix the pension problem in this state? How are we going to get out of this debt? That's going to be a central question for these candidates to answer. At some point, I think voters are going to expect more of them.
And it's interesting, because I did talk about that with J.B. Pritzker last Friday morning, and he shut me down, so we shouldn't be talking about this anymore. I get the idea they don't want to talk about it because the state looks bad, and I've had a number of candidates and office holders say, you know, you talk about these taxes all the time. You need to be talking about some more optimistic stuff.
Right.
Well, point some out.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly right. I mean, I think, you know, it's incumbent upon these candidates both to point out the positives, but also be honest with voters. And that's sometimes really tough to do, because let's be honest, voters often say that, as a political strategist and having been on several campaigns, voters often say they want the honesty and they want to hear and just shoot it to them straight. But sometimes when some of the solutions come forward, they don't always like what those solutions are.
Right.
So it's kind of a double-edged sword for candidates. So that's what they're going to have to weave over the course of the next 6 months.
It's interesting, because a radio consultant reached out to me, listens online, and says, your listeners don't crave honesty. And so I don't talk to them anymore. I mean, I've got no use for people who say things like that. You know, because we do. I mean, if there's anything in the world people want right now, it's the doggone truth. And then for people to tell me something like that, that literally, man, I'm like, yeah, and lose my number, man. Don't ever call me again.
I think at the end of the day, which, you know, being straightforward, and particularly when someone makes a mistake, particularly if you're an elected official, that it's very important to just own up to it and you make a mistake. I think that's something Bruce Rauner could get a little better at, if you ask me. I mean, somebody just say, listen, things haven't been perfect. I haven't done everything right. You know, on the same side, I think J.B. Pritzker owes a little level of honesty to the voters about his relationship with Mike Madigan. You know, I mean, it's a question he should, you know, he says he doesn't want to talk about it. We shouldn't be talking about that. But at the same time, you know, just need to level with the voters and say where you're going to be.
Do you think Bruce Rauner alienated a group of conservatives with his lack of even recognition of President Donald Trump? Do you think that caused a problem, and it was exacerbated by the abortion and sanctuary city laws?
I don't know that, you know, whether he says Donald Trump's name or not. I can say from my time there, you know, we tried to work with, you know, whomever was in the White House. And, you know, that was important to the governor to do, you know, try to get as much money from the federal government as possible and do the right thing. I'm not certain that that is what's upset voters as much as the abortion issue and signing that bill last summer, the HB 40 for public funding of abortion. I think that's really, you know, what really set people off. And I think what really bothered folks about that is that he had told members of the legislature, I think, that, you know, he wouldn't sign that bill. And I think that's where it really got him in trouble, is that he said he wouldn't, and then he went and did it. And I think that's really what upset voters the most.
Yeah, and, you know, something like that happened early on in his term, too. And I'm trying to remember, he had a name like Black Friday or something, where they were a commitment to make all these votes and they didn't happen. I remember several Democrats saying that really after that, that they were done, you know, and I'm trying to put those two things together and it's not working as well as I'd like. One more thing, Lance Trover is joining us this morning. What do you divine from the voter turnout? 1.3 million, something like that, 700,000 Republicans. That voter turnout, is that J.B. Pritzker money? Is that the candidates that got enthusiasm? Is it its own type of backlash towards D.C.? I mean, what was your takeaway there?
Well, one thing, as you know, as someone who's worked on several statewide races and as a Republican, you know, there's one thing you go into in Illinois, and that's pretty much a fact, is that there are more Democrats than Republicans in Illinois. So if you're going to win statewide in Illinois as a Republican, you're going to really need a lot of Democrats and independents to come to your side. So there is definitely some momentum on the side of the Democrats, whether that's backlash over things in Washington. I think there's certainly an anti-incumbency mood kind of out there across the nation. You've seen it in many races across the country. But also, I think if you're a political strategist, you keep in mind that, you know, there are more Democrats than Republicans in Illinois. And that just means that, you know, Bruce Rauner, he won 4 years ago because a lot of Democrats went and voted for him and they chose him over Pat Quinn. You know, he's going to have to make that same case again to independents, to Democrats, and say, hey, you know, you need to stick with me. You know, his message is, of course, going to be, you know, I'm the only guy taking on the Speaker of the House. Those independent-minded Democrats, he's going to try to say, listen, you need to stick with me. Otherwise, you know, these people are just going to raise your taxes even higher. I think it's a tall order. It certainly doesn't mean he can't do it. But he's going to have to really get out there and campaign and make his case.
But, you know, you just framed it up. You literally just did the summation of this interview. There is never, in my humble opinion, right? And what's really weird, Lance, you know, you've been doing this for a while. I'm going on 42 years. And I'm hard-pressed to come up with a time when you've had a more distinctive selection of governor's candidates so far to the right, although some people say not far enough for Rauner, and so far to the left for J.B. Pritzker. There's a very clear delineation here, and it is very far apart, and I wonder where people who believe they're middle of the road find a candidate. I know the Libertarian Party has a Cash, I believe his name is, candidate. Mm-hmm. People say, well, which is just the kind of thing that we can really alter an outcome here. But we have a distinct choice in the state of Illinois. We really do.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, they couldn't be further apart on the issues. I think you're absolutely right. And but you know, that's what elections are all about. I mean, it's good to have a distinct choice, and voters will make their feelings known come November. And you totally hit the nail on the head.
Hey, do you read the story about this? They're assessing the lockbox thing, because I know you know about this. The roads, money for roads, have to go to roads.
I saw that this morning.
Yeah, you saw it too. And because you see the headline, it says, well, we're going to assess whether it works. That's not what the story's about. You got to read it. They're already taking legal action that some $250 million believed to be diverted in Chicago away from the roads funds, even though it's against the law. I mean, because people who are driving down the highway listening to us this morning playing Dodge the Pothole are going, I thought we made it, you know, there's always something in Illinois. And it's weird because when I was doing some research on how you come up with a figure that says your state is corrupt, and, mm-hmm. and it's a mathematical formula, and one of it is how much money is in your road fund, as is a figure that is used in the formula to define corruption in a state, and for this very reason, diverting the money.
It happens a lot. Diverting of money happens a lot. You know, it's crazy when you, as someone who worked in state government, you know, it can be kind of a learning experience. There are a lot of funds, and you learn that, you know, even in governing, that there's all these funds that are supposed to be designated for certain, you know, issues or causes or whatever, but how easy it is to go in when you really needed the money, you can go in and raid those funds and use it for something totally different.
Right.
It's a wild ride. I mean, it's part of the issues that we have in Springfield, and certainly some changes need to be made.